Our gospel readings are always taken from something called the Revised Common Lectionary. It's a way for churches who participate around the world to all be focusing on the same area of Scripture as they orient and line their services around the Word on Sunday morning. Now, every church that I know of is free to deviate from that. Of course, you don't sign up or, you know, pay a penalty if you don't. But it's a way to basically go through the entire Bible, if you do all the readings, in 3 years. And so that's a wonderful way. Plus, it keeps you from avoiding difficult scriptures. On the other hand, I often deviate and go away from that. But today is a good example of when everything combines to bring this scripture into focus today. And I believe that that is uniquely evident sign that the Lord is teaching us in every which way He can, calling to those who will to hear and believe these words. Now, I've been reminded this morning, I have titled this message this title before, and basically around the same subject. So, for today's message, it's titled, The Emperor Has No Clothes. I'm taking for a text the 27th verse of the gospel lesson. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. Let's pray. Father, by your divine influence, the power of your Holy Spirit, and through the foolishness of preaching, you have determined to communicate saving faith and grace to your people. So in the holy conversation, in our mind and spirit, as you engage us today, each one may be on a slightly different point. We pray that you give us fruit to our understanding. As we converse with you inwardly, may we hear you, even with the words of a sermon at times. God, we thank you that this is a miracle of your Spirit's presence and not the work of any person. And we praise Jesus for it in his name. Amen. I picked this part of the scripture to focus on and to highlight because you see a couple of things there. Number one is a man from the city who had demons. You know right away, it's plural, not just a demon, but demons. And that he had them. Kind of like you have a toothache. He was afflicted. He was demonized. And I think in this situation, we would go so far as to say possessed. Possession is a rare thing in the world. It's a feature that Christians use when describing the Holy Spirit. Christians believe in our theology that the Holy Spirit possesses us. And in that original language, it would mean that when we have something possessing us other than the Holy Spirit, we are afflicted with unclean spirits. We would know that we were being inhabited, as it were, possessed. But by and large in the world today, you don't see... Now, you probably have met a possessed person. I've seen one or two. But most often, you see people who are being oppressed. Folks who have flies. If they were a cow in a field, those flies would be all over them. They'd be swatting and swatting and swatting. Because that's the function of these unclean spirits. Now, the other thing I noticed, I'll get into that in a little bit. It says, for a long time he had worn no clothes. That's interesting that the devil would cause a man to have his covering removed, right? To have to go about naked in the world. To be exposed. When Satan himself, his primary goal and aim is to not be exposed. We are studying in the Sunday evening lessons about the unseen realm. And the difference there is it's the realm of the disembodied. It's where the spirits who don't have bodies are. And how this realm is the embodied realm. And how demons love to be in this realm and work in this realm because they get to be embodied. They have human flesh and other flesh they can inhabit. This is what I believe. These are things that I believe. And I don't know where some people get their knowledge. I guess Facebook, because they don't read the Bible. But there are plenty of people in church today who say they don't believe in this sort of thing. Well, that is to your shame and your obvious nudity today. And I can tell you that when the enemy doesn't want to be unclothed in flesh, but he wants to be embodied, one of the greatest ironies of all is that he would take the creations of God, the humans, and make them go about in the world naked, blithering like idiots. This evil one, the evil ones that lived in this man, they knew that Jesus was going to do one thing. He was going to send them into the abyss. The abyss is the place with no bottom. It's in the unseen realm. It's a place where they are permanently disposed of. It's the trash can. They knew that when Jesus come out on the land, he'd come on purpose. And he had an agenda, and that agenda was right in front of him. And so they could go immediately to the defensive. Jesus knew the demons would rush to their own destruction no matter what. Okay? But the demons, looking around, saw some pretty acceptable substitute flesh. Pigs. Pigs would make a wonderful place, they thought, where they could go. And so when Jesus confronts the demons, of course, they beg to go into the herd of swine. And immediately, demonstrating that they couldn't even totally control a pig, all the pigs rushed over a cliff and fell to their death. The entire herd perished. And where do you think the demons wound up? Strangely, though, even with all of these weird things, Satan is called the God of this world. And in many times in the Bible, we're confronted with this and we have to wrestle, put our minds around it. Satan is called the God of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Ephesians 2:2 says he is the prince of the power of the air. In John 12:31, it says he is the ruler of this world. 1 John 5:19 says the whole world is under the control of the evil one. So in some way, the evil one exerts control and influence over the world and the people in it. This is personified evil. The scriptures tell us that the demons, the fallen angels, those who are with Satan, are limited in number. There's a lot of them, but they're not infinite. Neither are they omniscient or all-powerful. Omnipotent, we would say. No, their scope and their effect, all about everything about them is limited in some fashion or another. They are a part of the created order. But in some way, he does rule over the world and the people in it. Satan's major influence on the world's philosophies, education, commerce, culture. Basically, when people live as if there is no God, they by default are following the God of this world. You're not neutral by withholding your decisions. You can't claim to be a neutral country. If you're not working with the God, the true God, the one true God, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you're working with a false God who has cast his web of deceit and confusion upon you. The false religions of this world have all sprung from Satan's lies and deceptions in men's hearts. His fallen spirit being followers, called demons or unclean spirits, they can't make you do anything. Y'all remember, you're old enough to remember the The devil made me do it. I couldn't remember the guy's name, though. What was his name? Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it. The devil ain't made you do nothing. Human beings, by their own sheer force of will, because God gave us free will, gave us an opportunity to choose. And by choosing to fall, by choosing our own way, by choosing self, and make no mistake, that's the choice, self, we allied ourselves with everything that is against God. No, demons don't make us bad. We choose bad. We're fallen as a people, and we fall every day as fallen people. But demons take what's going on in a person, and unless that person is totally possessed, which I'm not sure you can even have a total. But they take what's going on in me and you and every other human being on the planet, and they make it 10 times worse. Because Satan is a master student of human behavior. He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He doesn't have power to see into. Ooh, no. It's not magic at all. He simply, by his own powers and the powers of his fallen angelicness, he can interpret the human nature. And besides, since demons have been assigned to all people, basically for their entire life, they know you intimately. There are demons that travel with families. They have the family name, for Pete's sake. They know you. They know your children. They study and they have the chart. You know, I guess they pass out the book on, here's Tommy's book, and oh, you know, and they just push those buttons. They don't make you do anything. They feast on and harp on and highlight your brokenness and your fallenness. And they have a right to do it. You recall that God is a God of laws. Everything in the universe is constructed according to his laws and decrees. And even the demons and those who've fallen can function within that, but no further. But they do have a legal right to touch us where we have made permissive places in our own lives. I most often see it in church members by the way they point at each other while the demons are sitting on their head. Because that's another feature of it. This counterfeit power, many times, sooner do you see it in somebody than it hops on you. Because they can do that. Poof. But all of it is counterfeit power. It's not real. It's conveyed by people's, their ignorance. Mine and yours. Satan's agenda, what is it? To beat God? God can't be beaten. Satan cannot defeat God. And only in the movies can he defeat the church. And so the church has been watching movies for 80 years and decided Satan can't be beaten. And now we live in the day of Satan's greatest time, his greatest and most prolific power. And God chose you to live in it. God put you on the planet at just this time. Satan's agenda, you see, is total distraction. What he can do is distract you from your Creator. What he can do is divert you from the purposes of God, which is God's praise and glory lived out through your life. That God would take a free will individual, give him or her free will, and turn her loose into the world so that her daily free will choices will glorify God. Or, if they're totally self-based, human pride-based, they will glorify the person. All this counterfeit power is human-assisted. It's human-enabled. Satan's agenda, though, is total distraction. It's to defeat the Great Commission. The Great Commission Jesus gave us was to go into all the world and basically share the gospel everywhere, baptizing the nations, making disciples. And Jesus told us to do that. That was our marching orders. Satan distracts from that. Now, when I told you a couple weeks ago, Jesus, when he came into the world, he was invading enemy territory. He was coming to take something back. And Jesus, as the scriptures say, totally disarmed the enemy in the face of the church. He told the church, hey, look what I'm going to do. The gates of hell will not prevail against you, church. Then he goes and he does it at the cross in the empty tomb. But the deception is, in the church, is that he's all powerful. Satan can't be stopped. He certainly, because I'm so self-righteous, he's not working his stuff through me. The truth is, to the degree you're less filled with the Holy Spirit today or possessed of God, you are in fact being manipulated. You shouldn't even trust your heart, your feelings, your emotions outside of the influence of the Holy Spirit. I know I don't. We are facing a totally disarmed enemy, and yet he loves to wear human clothing. He loves to go around in a bright, fresh, new human and strut, while all the world sees is naked humanity. But the world parades around this stuff. We have special holidays in many countries to celebrate this stuff. So you know about the emperor's new clothes, right? It's an old fairy tale from Hans Christian Andersen. I'll give you a quick summary. Basically, a couple of con men fool the emperor. They tell him they can make him clothes that are so spectacular and so wonderful. But all stupid and uninitiated people who aren't cultured and ignorant, they can't see anything. There's nothing. It's invisible. The emperor says, yes, I want those clothes. Well, they go to work on fake looms and fake, air weaving and air sewing and all this stuff, making the emperor's clothes. Finally, they present them to the emperor. The emperor doesn't want anybody to know that he can't see the clothes, so he says they're wonderful. And so he puts on his invisible clothes. And because all the people in the country don't want to be embarrassed and don't want to embarrass the king, be proven to be ignorant, they say it's a wonderful clothes that the emperor has on, until one little child says the truth. But he isn't wearing anything at all, thereby exposing how people who've been deceived due to their pride, their fear of being discovered, and their pressure to conform to group opinion, they've been ridden like a donkey. The emperor has no clothes. The God of this world has no clothing. The only covering he has today is the covering that I or you give him. By exposing him to the light of Jesus Christ in every part of our life, we can expose him to have no clothing. Not only disembodied, but disempowered. We've been saying, keep your eyes on Jesus. And buddy, let me tell you, in the world right now, if you don't keep your head in the center aisle and focus on Jesus, I promise you, you're being used in a vast conspiracy. A vast conspiracy that neither side will admit to. In whatever, whether it's religious sides, political sides, economic sides, a discussion about whether the wall is black or white, you name it. Whatever it is, the deception is now total and complete, with mass hysteria, anxiety disease, woven genetically in by now through one generation since 2001. The world is infected. And you are the people who can see into it. If you'd be so bold as to realize that your side's just as infected as the other side. What is the purpose here? It's to set people with good convictions and true convictions, and convictions they're married to, convictions that run and govern their life and their paradigm of existence. Those convictions that will keep them from seeing the deception by turning everyone against each other. The weakest people, you know, the LCDs, you know what that is? The lowest common denominators. They're not only out on the highway driving in front of you in the fast lane. They're also out there. They can't take the pressure, so they get a gun and they go and kill somebody. They make hit lists and they go and assassinate people on the other side of their agenda. Humanity is cracking under the pressure, and it's a false pressure. All because they will not look into Jesus' face and adhere steadily to Him. I'm going to be honest with you. If somebody tries to sell me a bridge in Charleston, I'm going to have to go look at the bridge and the title. And I think you are too. The people are consuming garbage, whole hog, whole cloth, by the bowlful. It hurts to see people who claim to be Christian falling into the snare of these deceptions. I'm sounding a warning cry, and I'm praying that others are doing it at the same time. I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit they are, to say, stop all this. The truth is something is in your heart. It is the light unto your path. It is the Word of God. I remember, it was years ago, when I got confronted by this Bible, and I had to promise the Lord, when I was confronted with a choice, it was going to be the Bible. And for over 30 years, that has been my choice. In my conscience, my allegiances, my loves, my loyalties. I've chosen it over my favorite hobbies. I've chosen it over my favorite wife. I've chosen it over my favorite children. And often when I did not choose, I paid a terrible, terrible price. You have one thing to do. Keep your eyes on and be focused on and glorify Jesus Christ. With the truth alive in your heart, you don't have enemies to go and attack. You don't have to tear down enemy heresies in the public forums. God doesn't need your help. God isn't desperately dying. His reputation isn't going away. He will glorify Himself. He will use you to do it. But every time Christianity took up a sword and got on a horse, it tilted the wrong windmill. No. What Christ wants is for you to have that individual light of the Holy Spirit burning within you and become equipped to dismantle and disrobe the enemy. And he must flee. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Jesus was in the wilderness, Matthew 4. The devil took him in vision to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Let this be our commitment today. Let's make an inward commitment to the Lord. I think a number of us have some apologizing to do, if not to God, then to each other. Our espousal of this or that theory or those counter theories has damaged relationships and families and in the church. Foolishness dressed in the false clothing of religious pride has made people out to be fools. And before we start pointing any fingers anywhere ever again, I want you to make sure you've got five good solid fingers pointing at your heart. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let's take a few minutes and reflect.